Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. The Passover lamb is slain. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. And in him, the Father is also glorified. Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name. All newborn soldiers of the crucified bear on their brows the seal of him who died. Call in the cavalry. We're engaged in hand-to-hand combat. On this Good Friday, we are mindful that as faith practices, there is also a spiritual warfare going on in our midst. Jesus' death on a cross is not simply a miscarriage of justice, nor is it only an illustration of capital punishment in one of its most heinous forms. On the cross, Jesus is engaged in spiritual warfare, battle with sin and death and the evil one. His battle is our battle, and his victory is our victory. St. Peter writes, "Beloved, don't be surprised by the fiery ordeal that is coming your way, as though something strange were happening to you. Be sober. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith." The devil, you say. A reaction of surprise and shock. Today we hear the Passion narrative as recorded in St. John's Gospel. Last night was Maundy Thursday, and in the Gospel of John, it was a final supper with a foot washing. Jesus took on the humiliation of a servant. He washed the feet of his followers, and he gave them a new commandment: love one another, even as I have loved you. During the supper, St. John tells us, the devil had already put it into Judas, into his heart, to betray Jesus. After the foot washing and during the meal, Jesus proclaimed one of his "Amen, Amen." "Truly, truly, I say to you, listen up, one of you will betray me." A piece of bread dipped in wine becomes a vessel of disclosure. Jesus gives the consecrated bread to Judas, and immediately, Scripture tells us, Satan entered Judas. Judas is given one instruction: what you're about to do, go and do quickly. Judas departs immediately, and John tells us that it was night. It's more than just a coincidence that the word evil is found in the word devil. In John chapter 8, Jesus proclaimed to his disciples, "Since the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." The opposition looked at Jesus and they said, "We're children of Abraham." And Jesus said, "That's a lie. You're offspring of the devil. You are following the one who is a ruler of this world." Satan is a murderer. He has nothing to do with the truth. Disguised as a serpent already in the book of Genesis, disguised as a serpent in the Garden of Eden, the serpent, Satan, the devil, you say, he tempted Adam and Eve. Adam disobeyed. Eve was deceived. Satan is God's enemy. That means that he is also our enemy. The ruler of this world has no power over Jesus. John tells us that Satan stands condemned. John tells us that Satan is being driven out. In his high priestly prayer, John chapter 17, Jesus says, Father, I'm not asking you to remove my beloved disciples from this world, but rather that you would protect them from the evil one. Lent always begins with the temptation of our Lord in the wilderness. It is written, Jesus says. It is written. It is said. The devil departs from the wilderness for an opportune time. Judas is given money, 30 pieces of silver, and he seeks an opportunity to betray our Lord. The devil, you say. Jesus shares the Last Supper. It's a final meal, communion, if you will, with his disciples. He washes them. He makes them clean, though not all of you are clean, he says. And then it's Peter who makes a bold promise. I will lay down my life for you, Jesus. Jesus says to Simon Peter, will you lay down your life for me? Amen, amen. Listen up. Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow until you have denied me this night three times. In another gospel, Jesus says to Peter, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded you to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I prayed for you that you may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Early in his ministry, Jesus announced his impending passion three times. And the first time he announced it, it was Peter who said, that's not the way it's supposed to be. That's not the way it's going to be. He took Jesus aside and privately started to rebuke him. And Jesus rebuked Peter. Get behind me, Satan, for your mind is not set on the will of God, but on the will and way of the evil one, the devil, you say. While Jesus is being interrogated, the one who has twice said to the soldiers, Ego eimi, I am. Peter is in the courtyard being interrogated not by Caiaphas and Annas, but by servants, common, ordinary servants, who say, You're one of his. And three times he denies it, and twice he says, Ego eimi not. I am not. Martin Luther, in his beloved hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, writes these words, Though hordes of devils fill the land, all threatening to devour us, we tremble not, unmoved we stand. They cannot overpower us. Let this world's tyrant rage, in battle we'll engage. His might is doomed to fail. God's judgment must prevail. One little word subdues him. The devil, you say. The devil, also known as Satan, the prince of darkness, disguising himself as an angel of light. Satan, the accuser. Satan, the father of all lies and liars. Who has bewitched you, St. Paul says to the church at Galatia? The devil, he casts a spell over God's elect and does everything within his power to trick, to deceive, to destroy. St. John, in his gospel, chapter 10, writes, The words of Jesus to his sheep. The thief, he said, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. I am the good shepherd for you. While some people picture the devil, Satan, as dressed in red, with horns and a tail and a pitchfork in his hand, there are others who simply dismiss Satan, the devil, as a fairy tale or a legend. Keith Green, a Christian songwriter, wrote a song in which he has Satan say these words, I used to have to sneak around, But now they just open their doors. No one's looking for my tricks because no one believes in me anymore. The devil, you say. Remember the days? Not so long ago, when on Good Friday from noon to three, businesses closed so that we could all have time, free from school, free from the workplace, to remember, to participate in the atoning sacrifice of God's only begotten Son. The devil, you say. In his book, Fuzzy Memories, Jack Handy writes, "There used to be this bully. He would demand my lunch money every day in school. Since I was smaller, I paid up. Then I decided to fight back. I started taking karate lessons, but the instructor wanted $5 for each lesson. That was a lot of money in those days. I found that it was cheaper to simply pay the bully. And so I gave up karate." Too many Christians disavow the existence of Satan and his soldiers. Too many Christians believe that it's easier to pay the bully than to learn how to defeat him with the blood of Jesus. You see, there are Christians who think that we're living in a playground when in fact we're living in a battlefield. Anytime we decide to take a stand for Jesus, you can bet your boots the devil and all of his fighters, if you will launch a full frontal attack upon God's elect. Not only upon us, but upon everything and everyone you love. Two dangers: to disbelieve in the devil, or to have an inordinate interest in him. Don't underestimate your enemy, and don't overestimate your enemy. For in the blood of the Lamb he is defeated, and in Christ and in the power of his Spirit that is handed over on the cross. The devil, you say? He has no power over you at all. Martin Luther, in the 1500s, had a keen awareness of the devil and his tricks and his evil intents. There's a legend, it's an apocryphal story to be sure, about how Satan was attacking Luther while he hid out in the Wartburg Castle and translated the scriptures into the German language. Supposedly, the devil was trying to hinder Luther's translation, and so Luther grabbed the ink pot, which he was using for writing, and he threw it at the evil one's head. Now, there are two reasons, some scholars say, for believing that Luther may well have thrown some ink at the devil, but not wet ink, but dried ink. First, in the other writings of Luther, Luther suggests that Christians should always defend themselves against the attacks of the devil with such seemingly weak things as ink and paper. He's talking about the scriptures, the same words that Christ relied upon when the devil was attacking him in the wilderness. What are the words that we will send the devil's way? The ink written in the red blood of Jesus, the atoning sacrifice of God's Son. In Brian Ellison's book, The Seal and Pledge of the Holy Spirit, he tells this story about the life of Luther. Luther was feeling discouraged, and so the devil began to attack him. He wanted to make Luther feel guilty by rehearsing all of his sins. When the devil had finished, Luther purportedly said, "Think harder, Satan. You must have forgotten some." And the devil did think, And he listed even more sins that Luther had committed. And when he was done enumerating the sins, Luther said, "Now with a red pen, the blood of Jesus, right over the list. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our sins." And the devil departed. Luther's reliance upon the red ink, the blood of Jesus in the Holy Word, is one of our enduring legacies, we who practice our faith by the grace of God in daily life. What promises of God will you throw in the lap of Satan when he comes attacking you? What ink might we throw in his lap? Well, how about a verse, a word from Christ on the cross in our passion narrative for today? John chapter 19, verse 30. "It is finished." Mission accomplished. "Depart from me, Satan. Can't you see? I'm sealed with the blood of Jesus and marked with his cross forever." In 1531, in an illustration that Luther gives us, evidently he was having a conversation with the devil, a conversation, my friends, that apparently took place while Luther was on the toilet. And this is what Luther says: "I am cleansing my bowels and worshiping God Almighty. You, devil, deserve what descends, and God what ascends." Luther would chase Satan away, he said, with a fart. Or he would write to him, "Dear devil, I have crapped in my pants and breeches. Hang them on your neck and wipe your mouth with them." Luther knew that the devil existed, but he knew what we know on this Good Friday, that Satan has no power over those who are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Claim that promise, my friends. Claim it. The devil, you say? Today we've heard the passion narrative according to St. John. From the beginning to the end of John's gospel, Jesus is engaged in a battle between good and evil, light and darkness. From the beginning, we know the truth. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Never in the Gospel of John is the outcome of this battle left in doubt. Never is the nature of evil diminished. God loves the world, and God loves you. And God gives his only Son, Jesus, for your salvation. And so the battle continues. Satan refuses to lay down his weapons. His eventual destruction is guaranteed. The book of Revelation says the lake of fire is going to be his tomb. So be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand. For we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against the wiles, the schemes, the treacheries of the devil himself. Our battle is against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Yes, my friends, we're in a war zone. And ISIS, it's just the tip of the iceberg. Don't be surprised, St. Peter says, by the fiery ordeal that is coming your way, as though something strange were happening to you. Your adversary, the devil, he's prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith. On the evening of June 18th, 1815, a man stood in the tower of England's Winchester Cathedral, gazing anxiously out to sea. At last, he found what he was looking for, a ship sending a signal by use of lights. He strained to see the message. All of England held its breath with him, wanting to know the outcome of the war between their military leader, the Iron Duke of Wellington, and the French dictator, Napoleon Bonaparte. Bonaparte, who had once ruled all of Europe, bar England, remained a threat. And now the decisive Battle of Waterloo had been fought. What was the outcome? The signal came just as a heavy fog was settling in on the English Channel. Only two words got through. The signal read, Wellington defeated. Morning came. The next day, the fog lifted, and they saw the rest of the story. What was the message in its entirety? Wellington defeated Napoleon at Waterloo. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adores his sacred name. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Won't let Satan it out. I'm going to let it shine. And so on this day, this Good Friday, we pray, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. And God does, through the atoning sacrifice of his Son, Jesus. And to the devil we say, in the words of Bart Simpson, eat my shorts, to hell with you, Satan. On the cross, Jesus conquered sin and death and the devil for you and for me. Believe it or not, it is finished. And now we await the promise of the third day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.